Welcome to episode 4 of Pod Your Own Adventure. Today's episode, Space and Beyond by R.A. Montgomery. Welcome back to Pod Your Own Adventure. My name's Tom, and an interesting fact about me is that I once had my picture taken with Goose from Top Gun. I'm joined today by Jeff Jacks, he of Questionable Content, the webcomic. Hello.
Hi, I'm Jeff.
Do you have an interesting fact?
Yes, an interesting fact about me is that I have ceramic middle ear bones in my right ear.
Why do you have those?
Basically my regular ear bones got super crappy, so I had to have them replaced.
Oh, dang.
And so now I've got like a robot ear. And the really weird part is that since they're, you know, like solid ceramic, they have a resonant frequency. So if I go to like live concerts or anything, they hit certain notes at a high enough volume, they actually feed back inside my head. It's really weird.
That is weird. You're basically a kind of cyborg, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm a little bit of a cyborg.
That is strangely appropriate considering space and sci-fi that we're going to be reading today.
I'm excited.
It's almost as if I planned that.
Oh, no, surely not.
Sorry for breaking kayfabe. Okay. So let's get started. Right.
Yeah.
You are born on a spaceship traveling between galaxies on a dangerous research mission. The crew of the spaceship includes people from 5 different galaxies. Your parents are not from the same galaxy, but both have features common to those found on planet Earth in the Milky Way, which is awfully convenient for the illustrator. Yeah. Because you've been born in deep space, you must choose the galaxy and planet of your citizenship. The spaceship is travelling at 62 times the speed of light. You reach the Earth age of 18 years old in just 3 days and 2 hours.
Whoa.
Not how it works.
Pretty sure that's not how relativity works.
No. Like,
just makes you age really fast.
Yeah, like, in 3 days and 2 hours, everybody else would be 18 years older, but we would still be 3 hours
older. Yeah. Oh, man.
Anyway, I'm sure that the rest of the book isn't going to have any sort of sci-fi inconsistencies.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm sure they vetted all of this with, you know, astrophysicists before it got published.
Well, it says here in the credits that... Yeah, there it is. Bill Nye was a consultant on this as well.
Messed up. What the hell, Bill? He was drunk.
Oh no, just really dizzy and knocking things off all the shelves.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we must choose either the planet Kenda in the galaxy of Pintum or the planet Croyd in the galaxy of Ufos.
Oh man, Croyd is a really fun word to say. I think we should go with that.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Croyd. Yeah, I like that.
Kenda is 3 times the size of the planet Earth. The star that provides some of its life-giving force is huge but ancient. There is fear that it is losing its force. Kenda has a history filled with trouble. On the other hand, Croyd is in the galaxy Ufos, far distant from the Milky Way galaxy. This galaxy has black holes and supernova stars. It has always been regarded as an uncertain region by observers and spacecraft crews. It is a difficult area, and the black holes are uncharted and dangerous. Reports from previous space probes say that Croyd has had a dim and troubled past. The reports also prophesy a bright and exciting future.
Oh man, it sounds like I chose the right
one. Yeah, I'm okay with Croyd.
Yeah.
Alright, turn the oath page. Croyd, what a name. You can't resist this planet and its unknown past. Yep, sounds right.
Agreed.
We just picked it because it's got a cool name. We didn't listen to any of the danger.
No, I had decided already, but it turned out that it worked out pretty well.
Good choice.
Yeah.
When the mission commander mentioned the hope for a bright future, you decided that you must go there.
I must.
Yes, we feel a resonance with it. It turns out that it is the home of your mother. She embraces you, wishes you luck, and gives you a small metal object on the chain. So,
all right, cool.
A morning star, I suppose.
Yeah, got a flare.
The boarding parties. All right, perhaps this will help you. Just as you're about to go for your final briefing, a young member of the flight crew rushes up and says, "Let me go with you. You will need my help." You don't know him well, but you have always found him warm and helpful. His name is Murmur. His broad smile makes you feel happy about the adventures that lie ahead. Of course he can come. The book decides that for us.
Alright, sure.
Cheers. The head of research warns you about Sunpo, a giant star 12 times the size of Earth's sun. Now, seeing as they don't come from the Milky Way, doesn't really mean anything to them, but...
Yeah.
Unless that they're using that, at least.
Yeah, it's convenient for us.
Sunthi is in its path, and its enormous gravitational pull could be dangerous. The head of research also cautions you about the black holes and supernovas.
because those aren't found anywhere else in space. But, you know, this galaxy, whoa.
Yeah. He tells you that if you want to delay your departure and go through the Space Academy, it may make your chances of success much better. So we can either run away to Croyd straight away, or we decide that our 3 days and 2 hours of experience are good enough to start piloting a ship.
Oh, man. You know what? We've got our buddy with us that we apparently don't know very well, but really, really like.
Yeah.
So I think we're probably good to go. I think we should just go for it.
Fortune favors the bold, I say.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. You want to be on your way. Even though it might be a rash decision, you and your new companion Murmur climb aboard the space pod. Sure. You enter the proper numbers on the flight panel and you launch into space. Murmur, check the stabilizers. We seem to be spinning a bit. Okay, will do.
Alright, thanks, Murmur.
He's really good at this.
Yeah, man. He's stabilizing the shit out of our pod.
I guess he actually did go to the academy, and we were just some yahoo who found a ship.
Yeah, that's really good, because I'm pretty sure we're just some yahoo who happens to be.
Just then, you realize from the computer screen that your flight path is close to a black hole.
Oh, shit.
Should have been looking out for that.
Yeah.
The danger is that once near the gravitational field of the black hole, you will never escape. Murmur helps you check the data input to the navigation system. To your dismay, you realize that instead of punching in the figures 4800, you actually put in 4008, and your path is now locked into the black hole. That's... Like, when you're traveling long distances, 1 degree off can be huge. Okay, whatever.
Oh.
Murmur stares at you in horror as the pod continues to move towards the massive black hole. People have been trapped by black holes have never returned. Okay, so we...
That's typically how it goes.
There are two options here. We can either turn on full power in hopes of breaking through the gravity field and landing on the black hole, or we can, or we can put up the energy repulsion shields to try and escape it.
Oh, man. I'm pretty sure you can't actually land on a black hole, so let's go with the repulsion
shields.
As far as implausible, you know, science goes, I think that seems a little bit less implausible.
I'm okay with this. All right. Don't give up. Try everything that we can. Quick, put up the energy repulsion shields. It's Murmur talking. He is 2 years older than you, and has traveled widely in space.
Is this really a good time?
What do you think will happen to us, Murmur? One never knows, he replies. Oof.
So, Murmur, we're falling towards a black hole. Tell me about yourself. How have you been?
Oh,
where are you from?
What did you learn in those 2 years at the academy?
that I skipped because, you know, screw it.
The first lesson they teach you at the academy is actually make sure that you're always entering numbers in the right order.
Yeah. And, like, lesson, like, right when they get there, they're like, congratulations, you made the first proper choice, which is to actually go here and not just waltz off into space with some yahoo.
Alright. With a shudder, the pod is suddenly grasped by the gravitational field, and you find yourself hurtling into the tunnel-like void. A black hole might seem black to the observer from outside, because no light can possibly escape its gravitational field, but all the light and the energy is contained within this space. The tunnel is brilliantly lit, but strangely, the intense light does not hurt your eyes. Suddenly, you are in a giant room. No, it is not a room. It's actually the interior of the black hole. It's a gigantic prism, thousands of miles across. A world unto itself. You are no longer frightened. And you and Murmur leave your space pod to begin a life in a new world.
Whoa, okay.
This is...
Alright.
Different book, okay. Fine.
Well, okay.
Oh god, imagine that. Imagine if... In one of these Choose Your Adventures, it said, turn to the next book in the series.
Oh my god, that would be amazing. Yeah. Like, yeah, turn to the sequel. turn to Be or Not to Be, a Choose Your Own Path adventure book by Ryan Q. North.
That's a good-ass book, by the way.
Yeah, that is a good-ass book.
The new world is peaceful, and the people are friendly and eager to welcome you and Murmur. No one is in a hurry, and work is pleasant. There is food and housing for all. It's a good world. The end.
No shit.
That didn't take very long.
Wow, alright. I was honestly not expecting a happy ending from falling into a black hole because I'm an idiot. That was cool.
Well, I mean, we didn't really get to Croyd, but I think...
Yeah, no kidding.
I think that the journey is greater than the destination.
Yeah, certainly. We've learned a lot about ourselves and about our buddy Murmur and... and about how black holes work.
Fortunately for us, I was keeping my finger on the page. So do you want to go to the Space Academy now?
Yeah, let's actually go to Space Academy. Okay. I think we've learned our lesson.
The lesson is learn what things do.
Yeah.
That was easy. Alright. Hesitating, you ask what other types of instruction will be given to you. So far, you have learned flight procedures, navigation languages, weapons, and planning. So,
are you sure I've learned planning?
That wasn't really enough for us to go across the across several galaxies, but whatever.
Apparently, yeah.
It is a good idea to get as much information as possible, but you ask the head of research how you will know when you have learned enough. Self-knowledge. It's everything you have learned now and in the past. You have but to realise it. Spend some time now, then go. All right, I'll do as you suggest. But how long will it take? You may either attend Space Academy courses on board, or you may study with me. So, we can go to the Space Academy, or we can explore the knowledge within ourselves.
I think we should explore the knowledge within ourselves.
I like that.
That sounds refreshingly, you know, Jedi-esque.
I like how that's written as well. It does feel quite empowering. Okay.
You don't need to go to school, man.
Just go to space.
Yeah.
Okay, the name of the head of research is Foos.
Mm.
I trust him already.
Yeah, that sounds like a very trustworthy fellow.
He tells you that there is an infinity of knowledge stored within all living things from countless past experiences. It sounds crazy, but then you just can't tell. You wonder if you really can call on experiences from past lives.
Alright, awesome.
Hypnotism, okay? I'm looking forward to this.
Alright, yeah.
Are there flashes of memory locked in your cells? Are the dreams you have of places you have never been, things you have never done, people you do not know, actually experiences from a past life bubbling up within you looking for a way out? Maybe dreams are a real thing. Whoa!
Awesome. This guy clearly did a lot of the same acid as Frank Herbert did before he died.
Oh, no.
Oh, Lord.
Foo speaks. Remember, my friend, all travel in space accomplishes little. We end where we begin. Parallel lines cross. Time is not real. Try to make the past the present. I can't really laugh and say this is all bullshit, haha, when we just had an experience where we fell into a black hole and then...
And everything was fine.
Yeah, and now we have that experience with us. So maybe R.E. Montgomery is actually getting very meta about this with the quantum timelines.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Like, subconsciously we know to avoid that black hole next time and to, you know, not punch in the wrong number.
I wasn't expecting this from this book. This is making me feel things.
It's getting deeper than I was expecting.
Yeah.
Alright.
You feel uncomfortable with these heavy thoughts, especially when he talks about parallel lines crossing in space. Oh my
god. That's impossible.
Oh my god. Okay. What does infinity mean, anyway?
Wow.
This is getting really heavy.
Man, he was writing this really late at night. He was thinking heavy thoughts that day.
He was really tired.
Yeah.
We can experiment with the past. It is Foos talking again. The past is not lost. It has just changed into a different form. You spend days calling on past experiences. It's like a big dream machine.
So we spend days tripping balls with this professor. And
I am agape at this.
Yeah, this is amazing.
You are doing well. Would you like to give it a try? What do you mean, you ask? You can either travel into past time. 125 million Earth years ago. Again, never been to planet Earth.
Yeah, but, you know,
the age
that unit of time.
You can travel into past time, the age of dinosaurs, and wander around there. Or you can just give it a chance of wandering into an unknown past. Which is it? So, we can either go back in time to the age of dinosaurs, or we can roll the dice and just go whatever.
As much as I love dinosaurs, I feel like this is so weird, we have to maximize our weirdness potential here.
Yeah.
So I think we gotta go with just a random unknown past.
That sounds fair to me.
It's gonna end up being like, you're Benjamin Franklin, and it'll be great.
and then we get struck by lightning, and that's how the book ends.
Yeah, exactly.
A chance to go to the unknown is probably really risky, but there is that desire in most people to take big risks. You race back in time toward the edge of eternity.
Whoa.
The beginning of the entire universe.
Yeah.
You achieve an elastic weightlessness and a sense of complete peace and calm. There is no sound, no light, but no darkness either. You race back to the very beginning, to the pulsating, exciting start. You return to the Big Bang that started the whole thing. You are, and you have been, a part of everything, always. The beginning is the end. Speaking of the end, that's where that part of the book finishes.
Jesus Christ.
Oof.
My God. So we found the 2001 A Space Oddity ending.
Yeah.
Wow. That was... I'm really good at making just terrible and yet hilarious choices.
I
guess is the point.
You could say that these are bad endings, but also we are becoming part of infinity in them as well.
Yeah,
so
that's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
In a way.
Do you want to go back to the time of dinosaurs?
Yeah, let's go back to the time of dinosaurs. Like, it can't possibly be any less weird. Yeah. So.
Alright. You remember studying the mind downloads of the evolution of living things on 12 planets. Earth was one of the planets, and the time period of the dinosaurs always fascinated you. The Cretaceous... Yeah?
Sure it did. You know, like, an entire universe, but whoa, big lizards on this one, that's crazy.
I like to imagine that, given the depth of the entire universe, dinosaurs are still really rad to people in different dimensions.
Yeah, like, it's the only time anything like that ever happened. Like, oh my god, giant lizard thing, this is so cool.
The Cretaceous period, when Tyrannosaurus Rex lived, was a difficult but fascinating time. Suddenly, you were there.
That's maybe the best possible opening to, like, an actual dinosaur comic strip I could ever imagine. Just suddenly, you're there. There's T-Rex.
Just wait. You are shocked to see that you have become a velociraptor.
Oh my god!
Well, there are no humans, I suppose, so we're just blending in. Yeah,
I would hope not, sure.
You're very small in comparison to the Tyrannosaurus Rex, and a prey to his voracious appetite.
Oh dear.
Hiding behind some lush vegetation, you are frightened and hungry, but you don't dare move. Any movement in this world could end in a sudden and violent death. You hear a scuttling sound, and a small Protoceratops rushes by saying, "It's all clear now. Tyrannosaurus and that awful Tarbosaurus have gone off to quarrel by themselves. Maybe it will give us a break." You cautiously peer up from the bushes and plants, then step gingerly away from your protective shelter. You gain a vantage point to watch Tyrannosaurus and Tarbosaurus locked in a bloody fight. You are horrified as their sharp teeth and powerful arms and legs tear at each other. There is a terrible howling roar of pain, then a crunching sound as Rex succeeds in biting off the head of his enemy. Jesus.
Good lord, this is the darkest dinosaur comic strip ever.
He then turns his attention to the surrounding area and spots you. Crazed with bloodlust, he races towards you. You had better get out while you can. You wildly hit some buttons on the time travel meter you carry in your claw.
Sure, yeah.
We can either hit erase or we can hit time return.
I don't think we should erase time.
That seems bad.
I think we should return, yeah.
Even if it is something galaxies far, far away, time return seems fair.
I feel like erase is bad.
Yeah. The buttons on your time travel meter catapult you through space-time to the eastern part of Africa, now called the Olduvai Gorge, in the Great Rift Valley. Only when you get there, it is not a gorge, nor it is a rift valley. It is an upland plain. It is 4 million years in the past, in Earth time. It is the dawn of mankind, and the earliest human types are just developing their life patterns. They live as hunters and gatherers. They have discovered tools, and they have begun to use objects like sticks and animal bones as weapons. It's the beginning of civilization. Why not hang around and see what happens? Maybe you can change it all. The end.
Oh, man. Oh. Really? That's the end?
That's how it ends.
Oh. It ends, like, right where another book should pick up. Yeah. Like, by the way.
That's happened twice. That's happened twice now in this.
Buy volume 16 in the series, so you're starting at the beginning of civilization.
God.
Oh.
I like this. It's got big ideas.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And just when I think it's done being crazy, it gets crazier. Like, not only are we on Earth, and not only are there dinosaurs, but the dinosaurs talk to each other. It's, you know.
I think some friends of yours are going to take some big issues with the portrayal of dinosaurs in this as well.
Yeah, I think so.
Aaron.
Oh, God, Aaron. He will not approve of any of this.
God. So, that was fun. We had
Oh, my Lord.
Do you want to stick around going to Croyd, or should we go back to the start of the book and head over to Kenda?
Let's try the other planet. I'm curious where that goes.
Yeah. Okay. Kenda is visible on the galaxy scanner. Now that you have chosen, your parents announce that Kenda is your father's home. The crew of the spaceship carefully prepares a space pod for the journey to Kenda. I'm just going to cut this, like, interrupt here, sorry. That trinket that we got from our mother, the Morning Star, we never found a use for that, did we?
No, it was just, like, here's this thing.
Yeah.
I guess maybe if we had actually made it to her home planet, it might have done something.
Yeah. But as it was, we just became a star child and then went back to the primordial soup.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, those are alright. I'm okay with those choices.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, honestly.
Okay. The crew of the spaceship carefully prepares a space pod for the journey to Kenda. Seating yourself at the controls and positioning the programmed flight path, you disengage from the mothership and drift off into space. Once in space, you are propelled by gravity generators. Something is wrong!
Of course.
It always is. You look at the scanner and see a nebula that is not supposed to be on your course.
What?
Suddenly the gases and particles of the nebula surround you. Your gravity generators and life support systems might fail. The radiation counter interrupts the silence of a spaceflight with harsh bleeps and crackles, a warning of dangerous radiation levels. So we can either try to return to the mothership, or we can trust our instincts and head on.
So far, my instincts haven't really done me much good. I think we should try to go back.
That's not so bad, actually. Okay. Returning to the mothership should be easy. You hit the navigation button and push the reverse command switch. But just at that... So I... Wait. Get the space pod into gear, I suppose?
What? Yeah, okay. Sure.
Oh. Hello.
Hi, dog. Yeah.
Just at that moment, the lighting of the pod turns to the flashing green-yellow warning colour, and all systems stop. Swirling gas and dust particles bathe the pod. You frantically hit the restart button, but nothing happens.
Oh, man.
Again, the space pod has that.
Yeah, you know, just reboot it real quick.
Take the key out and put it back in, sure.
You know, that actually happened to me on a flight once. That was amazing.
Really?
I was flying from Boston to Toronto before TCAF last year, and it's like one of those tiny little, you know, prop planes, and I'm sitting like right behind the pilot's seat, basically, and they start up the plane, and I can see all of the warning lights go on, and we're like, huh, all right, and I'm sitting there thinking like, oh, they're probably going to have to do some maintenance or something, when the co-pilot turns around, and he's like, okay, so we got a problem, we got a whole bunch of warning lights on the console here. So what we're going to try and do is turn the plane off and then turn it back on again. And if the warning lights go away, then we'll be good to go, okay? And so they literally just rebooted the plane and everything was fine and we flew to Toronto. So this is plausible.
What was that plan B?
I guess the plan B was find a different plane, perhaps? I'm not sure.
Hand out the parachutes, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, it'll probably be fine.
Okay. As suddenly as the gas came, it leaves. The warning lights turn off, the control panel blinks with energy, and the navigation control systems say go. The automatic SOS signal turns off, and you sit exhausted in front of the controls. So we can either decide to wait for help from the SOS call and go back to the other ship, or we can just say, well, the nebula's gone, what's the worst that can happen?
I think we're already playing it conservative with this one. I think we continue to be conservative and wait for help to show up.
Okay, that sounds fair. An SOS sent in space is a risky thing. There is no telling who is out there listening and observing.
Oh man, it's like FTL.
Yeah. Oh, I hope we get somebody friendly. But yeah. Not be rebels.
No, that would be bad.
Fingers crossed no rebels.
Uh-huh.
You wait with hope and a good measure of fear. Then you see it. First a speck on the screen moving in a sideways fashion. It jumps into focus. It resembles an amoeba, but it has lights, portholes, and markings of an unknown sort.
Interesting.
Cautiously optimistic.
Yeah.
Abruptly, the spacecraft, or whatever it is, halts close to you. In space, alien beings are not uncommon. You are alien to the beings in the craft jiggling outside your space pod. What should you assume? Are they hostile, or are they lifeforms knowing neither hostility nor friendship? There isn't much time. They are signaling for you to join them. You must decide whether to fight and hope you can drive them off, or whether you should just go quietly and peacefully with them. Here they come. It's hard to tell whether it is one or many. They seem to be all mixed together.
Oh, let's see. I don't know. It sounds like if we go with them, we might end up absorbed into some sort of weird communal consciousness thing. And I think we've had enough of those endings. So let's try fighting these guys off, I guess.
Shoot him? Okay.
Yeah.
The creatures move towards your craft. Suddenly, there are more of them than you can count, in all different shapes and sizes. They invade your craft, and they seem to melt over the control board. Their communications and navigation systems do not seem to be working. There is no other choice. You must fight for your life. You reach for the emergency energy switch. Just as you do, the creatures surrounding you melt into a large jiggling form.
I like all of the jiggling that's happening.
It's a very kinetic space monster.
Yeah.
With great difficulty, you escape the sticky mass that holds you. A laser stun pistol is in your hand. You press the release button and aim at the center of the jiggling mass. You watch it shrivel, turn bright colors, smolder, shudder, and then regenerate. You keep firing. Sounds never before heard by humans fill the air. It is not music, and yet it has tone and a certain beauty to it. The more you fire, the louder it gets.
The beauty of killing.
Yeah,
great.
This is messed up.
Oh, man.
Unnoticed by you, the laser beams are hitting the instrument console, destroying major portions of it. God.
Of course.
We're so bad at spaceships, Jeff.
Man, I am just a chump when it comes to intergalactic travel.
You keep firing. The mass shrivels and vanishes. Silence, you have won. But what a bitter victory. You now realize that the space
cost.
You realize that the space pod is destroyed. You float in space, hoping for some chance rescue. Now, the book is there is meant to say, like, so we can either forget Kendra and head towards Croyd. But let's not do that. Let's just go back to the ship. So.
Yeah.
Oh, we're in a nebula. This is spooky.
All right.
We can either try to return to the mothership, or we can trust our instincts and go ahead.
Let's trust our instincts this time.
I like that idea. Okay. Heavy meteor showers interfere with your complex navigation system. The interference is so intense that all communication systems fail. You hurtle through space, looking out through the portholes, amazed at the sights about you. But your space pod begins to tumble and the world spins in a maze of colours and shapes. Your speed is so great that you should get through the shower soon, perhaps even soon enough to correct the navigational problems. On the other hand, maybe it is dangerous to rely on chance to get you out of this fix.
Maybe. You know.
Wouldn't it be better and safer to radio for help? The laser radio will probably get through. So we can either wait and hope to get through the shower, or you can use the laser radio.
And it sounds like the book is really trying to railroad us in the direction of safety, and I kind of resent that, so I think we should continue to trust chance.
Just go with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Why wait? You feel that you'll make it through. You push the advance button, strap your seatbelts and shoulder harnesses even tighter, and push on. The bouncing and rocking is severe. There is a popping sound. The space pod is flung out of the meteor shower and into a transit zone. The transit zone is a space highway designed for commercial use by transports.
Oh man, we're gonna get hit by a space truck.
Whoops! Gonna merge onto it, okay.
Yeah.
An amazing variety of spaceships are following different laser beam highways.
Oh,
this
yeah.
This is exciting.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Mm-hmm. Wait.
It's like a Daft Punk video.
Yeah. Considering we were going at 62 times the speed of light at the start of the book, I don't know why we're using lasers to get about as well.
Yeah, you would think they would be invisible.
You'd think they could have thought something better than just concentrated light.
Yeah.
But I don't know. What do I know about space?
Apparently not too much, because this book is violating all kinds of R physics.
I feel like you did some research. It's like you knew about the Cretaceous period.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I feel like he saw Jurassic Park and was like, yeah, I can work that in.
Oh god, I imagine that the dinosaur that was talking to us had the voice of Jeff Goldblum as well.
Oh man, that would be amazing. Instant favorite character.
Did you see that Ask Me Anything he did on Reddit?
Oh, yeah, I just saw a link to it. And somebody was talking about the infamous sandwich thread, which is pretty great. Yeah. He really loves sandwiches. Yeah.
Okay, sorry, we're getting distracted by Jeff Goldblum and sandwiches.
Yeah, which is fair.
It happens to me quite a lot. A transit zone patrol craft hovers near you and signals you to follow it. The Traveler's Information Desk at the patrol station has some impossible partners for your travel. Oh, some possible partners for your travel, sorry. The opposite of what I just said.
Yeah, these are impossible.
There is a space caravan that might stop in Kendra. Caravans are like gypsies, and they stop where the mood takes them. Okay, I'm noticing a theme with all these R.E. Montgomery books, by the way.
Yeah.
There is also a band of travelling space circus performers. They may have a gig in Kendra in 3 Zvorsfits.
What? Whatever that means.
What is a Zvorsfit, you ask? Well, he explains, a Zvorsfit is equal to 9 Earth days. Oh! That planet we've never been to.
Yeah.
The space caravan may never decide to go to Kendra. On the other hand, the space circus gig is not definite. So, caravans or circuses?
I vote circus. I think that'll be more entertaining.
I think, given the choices we've made so far, I think being a clown is the least of our worries.
Yeah, yeah. Much better than, you know, becoming the universe.
Yeah.
Or being stranded with a bunch of cavemen.
A space... Wait, that's the wrong one. And he read out the thing for the space caravan. Okay, you decide quickly. A space circus sounds crazy. But then the whole idea of wandering around the galaxies looking for your home planet is crazy too.
Yeah.
They've got a point. You meet the leader, Zog. He can only be described as a totally normal-looking Earth-type with a red beard, a huge grin, the body of a giant, and a laugh and a warmth that makes you feel at home. For a book about space travel, it's quite unimaginative.
Yeah.
Welcome! We need a new thing! Welcome to the greatest show in the universe! I like it.
Oh, this bodes
well. I like it. He's got chutzpah.
Yeah.
But what can I do? Don't worry, my friend. We will find you work. There is no problem there. So, you join this group of creatures. Some Earth types, others like nothing you have ever seen. The array of odd spaceships hurtles through space. stopping at the odd planet or convenient space station, or just drifting in the void. Your special job is to be the trainer of high-energy particles and quarks, making them do tricks. You like quarks, and they seem to like you too.
All right.
You never get to...
I'm working with friendly elementary particles. Excellent.
Oh, man. You never get to Kenda, but you no longer care.
Wow. That's kind of dark.
I think that's one of the best endings we've had yet.
Yeah, just like... Yeah, I was going to go to this planet, but then I started training matter for a space circus, and it just feels like it's my real calling.
You know what? Like, some people are good salesmen, other people are good at driving spaceships fast. I just, like, trick light into dancing into funny patterns, and then I think it talks to me.
Yeah. Turns out I'm insane.
Oh, no, it's the space sickness for you.
Oh, man, I've got space madness.
Yeah. Do you want to go on the caravan?
Yeah, let's go to the caravan.
A space caravan. What could be more exciting than wandering through the universe, going wherever chance takes you? A meeting is arranged with the leader of the space caravan. She is a beautiful Numanian. Beautiful, at least by Numanian standards. That's rude.
That's super rude.
You communicate with her by using the language translation program. Her name is Aeus, and she explains to you that her group gathers exotic delicacies and objects. They never know where they are going. They go one stop at a time. For example, Aeus informs you that they are on their way to the planet Earth with a consignment of black hole dust. The Earthlings believe it is a magic potion giving them eternal youth. Aeus laughs at that, saying, "Foolish Earthlings. They always want what they can't have, and what is really unimportant anyway." Then she says, "Come along. We can't wait."
Oh my god, we're gonna... Black hole dust?
Black hole dust seems very risky.
Yeah. And why it would give you eternal... Okay, yeah.
Well, I mean, she did say that... People from Earth don't know shit about space.
Apparently not. They just want it for the Large Hadron Collider. And...
Yeah, Professor Brian Cox is going to put it in a big tube. And
Yeah. Michio Kaku is going to like holler about it on TV for a while. It'll be great.
I'm looking forward to that now, Dan.
Yeah.
So off you go. When you arrive on Earth, you are fascinated by the strange civilization with its tall buildings. It's people who look like you, but act as though they are frightened. There are crowded black canals, huge windstorms, dense dark clouds, and vast desert areas. So this is where R.E. Montgomery decided to get political, I guess.
Yeah. Huh.
Yikes. So we can either stay on the planet Earth, as horrible as it sounds, or we can leave.
I think we should definitely leave, since we're not actually supposed to be staying there.
Yeah. When you land on the planet Earth, the pilot of the second largest spacecraft picks a fight with you. He says... Listen, you don't belong with us. We don't want you around. You stay here or I'll vaporize you.
What a dick!
He waves a laser weapon. You have no idea why he is so angry, but there is no sense in taking risks. You'll stay on Earth for some time and let them leave. Eventually, you will have to set out again. Maybe a different route this time, perhaps a new route will take you closer to Croyd. God, this book!
Ah, oh, but thou must.
We're not going to Croyd. I've decided.
Not. Friggin' Croyd.
Right. So... Do you want to try the Kenda thing one more time?
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
I just don't think we've really got to the bottom of this. I think that there's a lot more that we're missing here.
Yeah.
Okay. Whoa, back in the nebula. Okay. We can either go back to the mothership or we can lower instincts and go ahead. I think going back to the mothership gave us a different option, didn't it? So.
Yeah, it did.
All right. Returning to the mothership should be easy. We press the button. The nebula disappears. The automatic SOS is doing something. So we can either carry on, or we can wait for help from the SOS call. But doing that made the...
Yeah, last time we waited for...
Amoeboids, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I think we should carry on.
I'm okay with that. Your energy indicator has faded from full energy red light to one quarter level blue-green light. I see. They are truly alien in that red means full and green means we're running
red
out.
Means... Great.
Messed up. What sort of topsy-turvy alien things are there?
Oh, they're just like us, but different in some ways.
What does this say about racism?
Oh, man. I don't want to know what this guy has to say about racism, actually.
Computer analysis warns you that all life support systems will stop in 3 hours, 16 minutes. That's enough for us to get to the age of 32.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
There's been no response to your SOS. Through a radar scan, you realise that even if help does come, it will probably not reach you before all life support systems fail. You desperately wish that there was someone in the pods to share this with, but you are alone. You've decided to use what remaining energy there is to follow a light island message. To follow a light island message beaming from a black hole. That was a weird sentence.
Yeah, that's very weird.
Black holes in space are there because the mass of the star is so great that nothing can escape its gravity field. No light, no heat, no radio waves. Yet, mysteriously, a light island, a phenomenon talked about and recorded by a rare group of intergalactic pilots, is clearly indicated coming from the region of a black hole. Some say that it is telepathic communication, or T-Web.
What? Yeah!
This is great.
Oh, man.
You must go. You thought that the choices are either to go toward the black hole and the light island, or drift in helplessness waiting for a chance rescue ship. So we've got... we do have a choice here.
Yeah.
It seems pretty obvious which is which, though.
Yeah. It's, well, either slowly die or check out this weird thing with a dumb name. I vote dumb name thing.
Yeah, sounds fine to me. With all remaining energy resources, you propel the craft toward the black hole. The closer you get, the more strange things happen to you. First, all the digital readouts on the command console reverse and spin back to zero readings. Your hair stands straight up as rigid as a wire brush. All light from your systems flows away in a stream and heads towards the black hole. You feel all your blood rush to your hands and feet, and a frightening dizziness overcomes you. From one of the portholes, you see a pulsating, velvet-like mass larger than the sky, or so it seems. There is a sharp, piercing cry. Go back, before it is too late. Go back now. You have absolutely no idea where this warning is coming from. Fuck.
Alright, great.
Perhaps you can still turn back. Maybe it's not too late. Maybe there is enough energy reserved to escape the intense gravitational field of the black hole. The warning is not repeated, and you hesitate about what to do next. We can either go straight on, or we can reverse direction.
I think we should reverse direction and listen to the weird hallucination voice thing.
Hitting reverse engine and power output buttons frantically, you feel the space pod tumble wildly as if out of control. A period of calm, quickly followed by more tumbling, surprises you. Now you're awake, wide awake. You glance at the control console to check the graph and the navigational computer. You realise that you're on the route to Kenda, that all is well, that you had simply passed into a programmed sleep period, which had produced the dreams of nebulae showers, light islands, and black holes.
Oh my god, really? It was all a dream?
It was all a space dream, there we go.
Oh.
On you go towards Kenda, the end. So...
what the...
I'm surprised, actually, that we've managed to find an ending where we go home to one of these planets.
Yeah.
That's also where it ends, we don't find anything else out about it, because I suppose the journey truly is greater than the destination.
I guess, yeah. It was all a dream. Yeah. Man.
I kind of want...
So I guess all of those other deaths were a dream. And what is reality?
Man. Or if we listen to the guy at the academy, all paths are correct as well. So not only did we make it to Kenda, we also made it to Croyd, and we died, and we became a light child.
This entire book is just like a quantum superposition of everything that could have happened.
This book's fucked up.
Yeah, man.
Do you want to go into the black hole?
Yeah, let's go into the black hole. Let's see what happens.
Sure. The light island appears as a haven for you, and your space pod comes to rest gently in the warm radiance. You leave the space pod and are greeted by a group of six creatures that change age and features, transforming from babies to old people.
What? Gross.
It is more than you can understand. It is frightening. It is watching the past become the present turn into the future. It is a kaleidoscope of life, endlessly repeating the cycle of birth and death. You realise that it is happening to happen... You realise that it is beginning to happen to you as well. You look down at your hands, and they are small and pink, baby's hands.
The ultimate nightmare.
This is really weird.
Yeah.
Before your very eyes, they grow and change colour and texture. A rush of time and experience engulfs you. It is not unpleasant, but you have no control over it. Then you're horrified to see the wrinkled skin and dark liver spots of old age appear in your hands. Don't be too frightened, one of the creatures in front of you says. All of us are shocked at the beginning, but it passes with time. What do you mean it passes with time? You shout. They laugh, but not unkindly. And you calm down?
Okay, sure.
Look, here. You must accept the fact that you now belong either to the past or the future. The present doesn't really exist. Why not choose where you would like to spend time? Oh dear, as we said, there is no time really. But don't worry, past or future, it's up to you. I'd just like to say now that there is an illustration on this page as well, and it's like a bunch of children, like babies wearing pants, but with... old people's heads thrown on the top of them as well?
Oh, nice. That's not grotesque
at
all.
It's so terrifying. It sort of looks like that bit in Akira, except even more messed
up. That's exactly what I was imagining. My god.
God. Alright.
Ugh.
So we can either risk going into the future, or we can go for the comfort of the past. I'll tell you this now. If you turn to the future, we are turning to page 69.
I think we have to do that. Just, yeah, that's mandatory.
All right. Future. Throughout all time, if there is any such thing as time. Fuck off.
Yeah. We just went to the future. There can't be a future with a...
Creatures have wanted to be able to predict the future. Sometimes they consult gods or goddesses. Sometimes they even cut open animals to search for the truth.
Is there time inside this animal?
Let's find out.
Yep.
Sometimes they go into trances, but most often they just hope that luck will help them to tell what the future will bring. Nothing ever seems to really work. Now you can travel into the future. Step this way. You must be prepared for this futuristic trip. They lead you up a long ramp, surrounded on all sides by constantly changing light and images. Now be quiet, remain calm, and enjoy. Suddenly, you leap into the future. We have two choices. If you believe in the future, or we doubt what is happening.
That's... Wow, alright. Do I believe what these crazy black hole baby old men are trying to tell me?
This book is so messed up.
Man! I'm feeling gullible. I think we should believe these guys.
Believe in the future.
Because it's just... Yeah, I want to believe.
In an enormous, dimly lit room, a small light rests on a table. You know that you must go to the table. There is a faint smell of sagebrush, a plant found on some deserts on the planet Earth. A voice instructs you.
Of course I would know that.
Well, I mean, no, I've got nothing for that, actually. Just we know what it smells like.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, we would just know that. That's plausible.
A voice instructs you to look at a hologram that appears in front of you. It is a history for past lives for 6 million years.
Oh my god, we've wandered into Scientology.
Oh no! I can't believe... if in this galaxy they are throwing all Scientologists into a black hole.
Yeah, that's actually
that seems fair. Yeah, I'm on board okay with this book.
Yeah.
You are staggered by the great number of lives you have lived. You have been a success and a failure many times over. You have been happy and miserable. Only twice in all that time were you bored.
Wow, that is...
Again, the author's speaking very highly of his own work.
Yeah.
Hey, wait a minute. I thought I was going into the future. That's what I agreed to. You guys, come on now. An agreement is an agreement. The past is also the future. You have much to learn. Look to what you have learned, then the future will reveal itself. The end.
Oh, man.
God, this book.
This friggin' book.
I'm done.
Yeah, nope. That's... I don't even...
That was some bullshit.
Yeah, that was total bullshit.
Just...
And the one good ending was it was all a dream ending.
They leaned really heavily into the all universes existence and parallel timelines and...
Yeah, which in a choose-your-own-adventure book seems like kind of a cop-out. I mean, maybe that's just me, but...
God. Do you want to hear some of the endings that we didn't get?
Yeah.
All right. So, you remember back near the start when we were with Murmur, and we were like, oh, there's a black hole, we can either try and fly away from it, or we can try and land on top of it.
Yeah, I'm curious as to what happens when you land on a black hole.
Okay, here we go. You are never heard from again.
Wow, that was a lot more concise than I was expecting, but I'm glad that my instincts were right in that case.
That might be one of my favorite endings in the Choose Your Adventure.
Yeah, that one's really
good. There's always so much to them. But that's just very perfectly concise.
Yeah.
Okay, the second ending. I think this one is a research team that we joined. One's that we had along the paths that we didn't take.
Yeah.
Stars are masses of extremely hot gases, which emit energy in the form of exploding atomic particles. The violence of their continual nuclear reactions is unbelievable. Why in the world would you want to go on a mission to penetrate such a world? But that is what you have chosen to do. I missed something somewhere.
Even the book is like, I don't know why you wanted to do this, but...
The group you have joined is enthusiastic about this mission. They know that if they are successful in penetrating this particular sun and returning with samples of object life, they'll become Seore. That means heroes in their land. Anything for fame?
I guess, sure.
Seore is, of course, heroes backwards.
Uh-huh.
That's all alien language is, apparently.
Yep.
The spacecraft enters into a wide orbit around the sun, and then at the proper moment, with all heat deflection shields, antimatter reflectors, and dematerialization gear operative, it breaks orbit and dashes for the sun. It is sheer madness, and you realize it is much too late to do anything about it. You're transformed into basic energy particles.
Alright, yeah, that's...
You know what? That's a good death.
Yeah, that was really actually quite well written, because you have that moment of like, what the hell were we thinking? This is stupid. And then you die.
Yeah, just kind of miserable, really. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. And this is another one of the routes that we didn't get, but I kind of wish we did when we hear the ending.
Oh, no.
What fun to be a pirate!
What? Yeah. How did we miss piracy?
I don't know, but apparently it happens somewhere. It's space swashbucklers.
Right. Right.
It is a good life, and their treasure box on the spacecraft overflows with the universe-governing body money. But then one day, you intercept a radio broadcast. The universe-governing body announces that all currency and money are now worthless and no longer needed or used. A new system for sharing food, clothing, and shelter that doesn't use money has been set in motion. As pirates, you are finished. There is nothing left to steal.
Wow, that's...
That's crazy.
I still feel like even in a moneyless society, you could still figure out something to steal.
Well, I mean, also when you look at the illustration, there's our space captain there at the helm of the ship. Behind him, there are the crown jewels, a statue of an angel, presumably made of gold, and the Mona Lisa.
Awesome.
It's pretty good. That's space piracy,
right? Yeah, that's a good haul. Yeah, I like that.
You know what?
Oh, to be a space pirate.
That one seems to lean quite heavily on the parallel universes existing.
Yeah.
I kind of like that one, though.
Yeah.
What did you give that book out of 5 stars?
Gosh. I'd have to give it 4 out of 5, just in terms of, like, the physics was perfect in every way, and I loved the realism of the sci-fi setting. I have to deduct 1 star for that it was all a dream bit, though. That was just such a cop-out.
I thought that the physics was flawless and the stuff with all the dinosaurs were very well researched. So
yes, that was very realistic. I think Jack Horner himself would be proud of that.
I'm going to give it 5 stars.
All right.
All right. So thanks everybody for listening.
Yes, thank you.
See you again next week.